At Arizona State University, we've made online education better, smarter, and more personalized so you can go further in your aspiring field.
I decided to pursue medicine once I realized that ASU did have the online program for biological sciences. You're still required to learn the same curriculum. You're still being tested on the same content that anyone would be tested on in person. The comprehensiveness of the program prepared me so well for medical school.
Explore over 350 plus programs at asuonline.asu.edu.
Another one bites the dust. So if you missed it last week, there was an announcement from Lorne Michaels, and that's the creator of Saturday Night Live.
Mm-hmm.
And he very blasé said that there was going to be cast changes in the upcoming 51st season.
Yeah, something about he didn't want to change it during the 50th because it would take away from that. But there was going to be some big upheaval, as a matter of fact.
So the second person has come forward to say, hey, I've been fired. The first one was Devon Walker, and he said he'd been on for a couple seasons, and he said that the workplace, he's going to miss it, but it was toxic.
At times.
Right.
Sure. I could see that. High pressure. It's highly competitive.
Don't you feel like every workplace as points is toxic?
I do. But I think that in a creative field, sometimes it can feel more intrusive, I guess. I don't know.
And the second was yesterday, Emil Wakem. I hope I'm saying his name right. I'm sorry if I'm not.
I'm sure you aren't.
Yep. He announced that he was let go as well. I started thinking about it, and I said, if you're Lorne Michaels, you have to, let's be realistic. Saturday Night Live created some of the biggest comedians in history. You have your Amy Poehler, you have your Tina Fey, you have your Chevy Chase, you have your Eddie Murphy.
The list goes on and on.
The list goes on and on.
Right.
But truthfully, with the exception, and you know, I say exception of maybe Kristen Wiig and Pete Davidson, have we seen any massive stars come out in the last 5 years,
Chase, the year after he left that show, had four major blockbusters in theaters.
Right, but
four.
We don't. It's not happening anymore. And I think part of it is not that these people aren't talented. Of course they're talented.
Sure.
But it's a matter of the way we watch late night TV with all the streaming now. There's just so much more competition. I can understand why he thinks, let me just blow it out. Let me blow it up. Let me see what I can do. Emil Wakem, again, I apologize. I'm butchering your name.
Sorry, Emil.
He says that he was at Six Flags celebrating his friend's 36th birthday, and he went on a really emotional walk through Bugs Bunny Park, and he stared out across the Daffy Duck Lake thinking about life after he got the call that he had been fired. And I was thinking about, what is the worst place to find out that you're fired? Because being at Six Flags when you're just trying to have a good time,
yeah,
like that stinks.
Yeah, you know what? I found out that a radio station that I worked for many years and loved being there was getting sold the first day of my vacation. Mm-hmm. And the worst thing was I had to go back and tell everybody because I had information nobody else had. The bosses didn't know. Nobody knew.
Mm.
I knew that it had been sold because I had a friend ran a cleaning business, and the guy who was actually going to go flip the satellite was one of her clients.
That stinks.
It was terrible because she called my wife. She's my wife's best friend. She called my wife while we were on the way there. And she said, you have to tell him this. You know, he should know. And my wife was like, oh my God, it's the first day of our vacation. How am I going to tell him this? And as soon as we pulled up, I was like, what's wrong?
Yep.
And she sat me down and we had that talk, and I immediately had to call somebody, and they were like, what? Wait a minute. What?
Yeah, that stinks.
And then they called me back. They said, I got to make some calls. They called me back 20 minutes later and they said, yeah, it's for real. I don't think that there's any good place. If you're getting fired, I would rather not being in the parking lot or in the building, because there's nothing like walking out of the building after you've been canned.
Right. I don't know if I want to be here when I get fired. Like, you could probably just text me and it's fine. I had just found out I was pregnant with Hayden the night before. And the day after we found out we were pregnant with our first child, Paul lost his job. He got laid off. That was the worst. That you want to talk? I was like, our health insurance.
Right.
I was like,
life's over.
All right. I was like, what are you going to do then?
Yeah.
You know, but things always manage to work out. They always do.
Yeah. Joy to terror. And I'm sure all these people will work again.
Chef Plum's done all the hard work in the kitchen, so Anna and Raven don't have to.
What do you serve at a Taylor Swift, Travis Kelce wedding? That's a big question, right? You got special guests from all over the world coming in.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely going to be a unique setting and a unique menu, I'm sure. I feel like the sleuths should have already had this figured out.
Chef Plum is joining us, 6-time Emmy nominee. You could listen to his podcast, Plum Love Foods, wherever you get your podcasts. Plum, all right, you are doing the catering for Taylor and Travis's wedding.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
What are you serving?
I appreciate you guys. I worked hard. See, here's the thing. I work with a lot of high end, you know, top, you know, over percent of people. So I'm the right person to do this. I got it all worked out, right? I got a great menu already put together for these guys. And, you know, it's going to be fantastic. I got a couple of cocktails to get things started because you got to have a cocktail hour, right?
Yeah, sure. Definitely.
And a signature cocktail. Yeah.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So we're going to have the Love Story Lemonade Shandy, right? It's a lemonade, a little bit of light beer, kind of nodding to the Chiefs tailgate situation. I've got the Lavender Haze Arrowhead cocktail. It's a lavender gin fizz with a red sugar rim. Come on, what's better than that, right?
That actually sounds lovely.
Good.
Yeah.
Those are good ideas.
I'll give you one more. How about the champagne problems? It's a classic champagne with like a red glitter around the top of the glass. Come on, it'd be beautiful.
I mean, so far I'm into the cocktails. Yeah. I'm into what you're saying. You got a little bit of the beer for the stadium and for the football. Yeah. You've got all the antidotes from her songs.
Well, I mean, I think that the attitude is definitely speaks to their laid back nature, right? Mm-hmm. And Kelsey and I think he and his buds will enjoy a shandy, right? Mm-hmm. And still, it's got enough flavor there with the craft, and it's good. Yeah, those are good choices.
But Plum, what are we going to eat at this magical wedding?
Right.
Let's jump to some appetizers, some past appetizers, okay? How about the You Belong with Brie, right? It's a baked brie and puff pastry with a Kansas City honey drizzle. How about that?
Delicious.
Oh, man.
I mean, this is so much better than I thought it was going to be, honestly.
Yeah. All right.
Come on, listen. We're not playing games here. We've also got the Enchanted End Zone Sliders. It's going to be mini pulled pork sliders, obviously a nod to Kansas City barbecue. And, you know, let's go to some main courses now, all right? How about Begin Again Burnt Ends? So it's Kansas City-style burnt ends. The Forever and Always Brisket.
Okay, all right.
How about this last one? All Too Well, smoked Kansas City-style ribs.
Okay, I'm just a little bit...
So well.
I mean, they all sound incredible, but I'm a little bit worried about those that are looking for lighter fare and not barbecue when it comes to the actual entree.
Well, see, Raven, here's the thing. I'm glad you said that because you know that I've got you covered. Don't you even worry about anything when it comes to that. I've also got the Begin Again Pasta Primavera. It's a fresh, colorful pasta with seasonal vegetables. It's going to be delicious. And how about the Forever and Always Roast Chicken? Simple, easy, little rosemary and lemon. The Forever and Always. That's always a winner.
Okay. I'm going to guess that Taylor's not going to hire you to do her wedding. But I will tell you this.
You're crazy.
You should do a pop-up party where we have a mock wedding and we serve all that food and we sell tickets to it and we go and you make us all that food and we eat it.
Yeah, the date of the Taylor Swift wedding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm
like
into that.
Wow.
Yeah.
We could finish it off with a Shake It Off Sunday bar and late night snacks. How about the Karma Corn? Sweet and spicy kettle corn with red and gold bags, cool summer nachos. I got all day. Let's go.
I mean, that sounds lovely. We didn't even think about dessert. What kind of cake are you going to serve? You got to serve a cake at a wedding.
I'm so glad you asked. How about the White Horse Wedding Cake? A tiered white cake with Chiefs red flowers on it.
Oh, beautiful.
It does sound lovely. Can we fly in lobsters from Rhode Island?
I mean, we can, but it's really, I mean, for doing it in Kansas City, it's not going to work, but I guess we probably should if it's in Rhode Island, right?
Well, I mean, if she has it at her Washington mansion.
Right. Maybe she has them as pets just out there along the ocean. They're also trying to steal a glimpse at the house.
I've stalked that house many times. I've never seen any lobster traps out there.
Did you come from the water? You got to come from the water.
All right, Chef Plum.
Yeah, I agree.
You can check out his podcast wherever you get your podcast, Plum Love Foods. Thank you, Plum.
I got them all day. I'll keep going if you want.
Nothing will give you the ick more than watching PDA.
I mean, that's...
Public displays of affection.
That's you. That's not necessarily everybody
else.
No,
I think it gives people the ick. So this past weekend, we had something very interesting happen. Here is my 16-year-old daughter.
What about that couple at the beach?
It was pretty graphic.
Have you ever seen anything like that?
Not in real life.
What were they doing? First of all, how old were they?
Older.
What's older?
Like maybe 60.
Oh, she's a respectful girl.
They were very aggressively grabbing each other.
Do you think that was an appropriate place to do that in the middle of the beach, in the middle of the afternoon on a weekend?
No. No, I don't.
Does that image live burned into your memory forever?
A bit. I also have a picture of it, so.
Oh, my God. Kids nowadays.
I feel like
she's very respectful. She was like, they were older.
Right.
60. She didn't say they were ancient. They were, you know, whatever. Wow. I mean, a lot of aggressive grabbing, huh? That's a little bit next level.
Raven, it was so yucky.
Did they have a tent? Did they have any coverage?
No. They had one big blanket on the beach rolling around. I was like, what are these people doing?
Wait, they were rolling around on the blanket.
I mean, they were clothed, but still.
Yeah.
And I was like, there's a million kids here.
Sure.
This is a public beach on a Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, so you ran up and you told somebody, or you wrote a letter to the editor of the local paper.
You know I don't like confrontation. I did nothing.
You did nothing.
I did absolutely
You discussed it with your daughter. She took a photo.
We giggled, and then she took a sneaky picture, which I told her, you know, I'm like, you can't just do that.
Yeah.
She's like, yes, I can. They're in a public space. And you know what? I didn't argue with her because she's right. They shouldn't have been doing that.
Yeah, but if somebody did that to you, you wouldn't like that.
Well,
so, the photo thing.
I wouldn't be doing all that stuff in a place.
Right.
Places that you should not do PDA, because you know, okay. I don't like it.
Listen, I think people can kiss each other wherever they are. When you get into groping and stuff like that, it's next level. But at top of mind, okay, grocery store.
Well, that's,
I don't want to see you at the grocery store aisle making out. That's weird. Excuse me, I just have to get to the, you know, the plum sauce over here, whatever. You know what I mean?
Imagine you're touching the cantaloupes trying to pick a good one and there's just a couple making out next to you.
Or they're right, I mean, they're going to be right in front of whatever item you need. You know that, right? Disney or Sesame Street Park, you know, anywhere where it's really small kids, right? Because, you know, listen, certain areas of Disney, you can make out.
No.
Certain hours, no, you can. Animal Kingdom, you can make out there.
They don't even let you wear cropped shirts there. Think they're going to let you make out?
Full bars at Animal Kingdom, all right? And you're just doing it like the Discovery Channel. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
And then school or preschool drop-off. Any school drop-off, you
should. Any school event doesn't require
homecoming?
You. No. That's even worse.
Look,
no.
Look, they're still so in love.
Oh, gosh. No. All those places, no. I'll also add restaurants to that. People think restaurants are like romantic, and they, of course they are. But truthfully, nobody wants to see it. And if there's a booth and there's two of you, I don't even want you to sit side by side.
No, that's not up to you to make that decision.
Unless you have a hearing problem, and I wanted it documented that you have a hearing problem, you shouldn't be sitting side by
you
side.
You want it
because
documented?
Because I don't want to see. Well, wear your hands. Wear your hands.
It's none of your. Why are you looking?
What?
Look, just look at your table.
Just sit across from each other like normal people.
Just look at, look at your dinner. That's what I would say.
Would you rather get gored by a bull or hit in the face with a tomato?
Definitely hit me in the face with a tomato, please.
Trending is powered by Sherwin-Williams. Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day sale and get 35% off paints and stains. Now through September 4th, retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. It happened again yesterday because it was the last Wednesday in August. And every last Wednesday in August, 20,000 people from around the world gather in Spain. Why, Raven?
The running of the bulls,
right? Nope. That's not it at all.
Oh, no.
This is a live look at Spain celebrates 80 years of La Tomatina Food Festival. And on the ground, you can just see so many tomatoes. People are like ankle deep in all of those tomatoes. A lot of them being tossed by this truck that you see moving through the crowd there.
Food fight. Food fight.
So much better because, you know, when the running of the bulls happens, every time somebody gets gored, I say, get some bull.
Yeah.
Get some payback.
This is a lot more fun because it's just people throwing tomatoes at each other.
Oh, I can live with that. I like that in the water fest in Thailand. That's also cool.
All right. So why do they do this and why have they been celebrating this for 80 years now?
And the event was inspired by a food fight between local children who had pelted each other with tomatoes back in 1945. So it's really been a staple in this community ever since.
But how weird when you think about it. Like these kids had a food fight and you rewarded them by making it a national celebration every year.
Must have been a connected kid, right? They were like, instead of getting them in trouble, let's make this thing a thing.
You don't hear a lot about food fights anymore.
Mm-hmm.
When's the last time you heard about a big food fight breaking out?
Here's the thing. Not a fan with the food fight, right? Like I showed up at a tomato fest, it's expected, right? But like if I'm in a cafeteria and somebody breaks out a food fight, no, I'm not into that. So no, I haven't heard of any because I feel like then after a ruckus happens.
I feel like kids respect their clothing and sneakers more now. So they're like, nah, I'm
that
not
makes
doing
sense.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also trending, if you're planning to buy new Uggs for the upcoming season, don't think you're buying knockoffs when you see that little stamp on the back of your boot doesn't say Ugg anymore. In America, Uggs are being legally obligated to change their name. All right, so here's what's going on.
What?
This is one of the representatives from Ugg in Australia.
We're being sued by Deckers Outdoor Corporation. It's extremely hard to fight a lawsuit against a multi-billion dollar company, especially as a family-owned, Australian-made business.
So,
wait a minute. So Uggs doesn't have enough money to fight some sort of court case?
No,
they
lost.
That seems insane.
They lost. So here's the background. Uggs are an Australian brand of shoes. And in Australia, Ugg is a nickname for sheepskin boots. So when the family company first started, they just used the name Ugg like we're all used to.
Mm-hmm.
Not anymore. So because they lost the lawsuit and Deckers is an American company, in Australia, they can keep being called Uggs. because of the slang term that you can't do anything with. You can't trademark it.
Okay.
That's the word I'm looking for.
All right.
In America, they did. Deckers owns it. So now when you buy your new Uggs, they're now going to be called Since 74, because that was the year that they were created. So that little tag on the back,
yeah.
If you buy them in America or any other country outside of Australia, it's going to say Since 74. And then you got to know, they're not knockoffs. Those are the real ones.
That's wild.
Isn't that crazy?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Let's make some lunch for my kids.
Pack my lunch with me.
My mom packed my lunch, so let's see what she did.
Anna's school lunch update.
Your child can be a master manipulator and you don't even know it. I just want to put this out there as a preface to what we're about to talk about with the school lunches. Yesterday, I've had a lot of parents reach out to me with ideas on how to pack my daughter's school lunch because she's so picky. And I said, this can't be the year again going into second grade where it's just junk in her lunchbox.
Yeah, I mean, this has been ongoing for
years,
a long
time.
Basically,
years.
Since the child started eating,
yeah,
there's been an issue.
Now, I will say she has a severe peanut and tree nut allergy. Mm-hmm. So I'm a little bit more hesitant when it comes to her because I get a little bit scared, right?
Yeah. You've also told me that she's never had a vegetable in her life.
Never had a vegetable in her life. To this day, never had a vegetable in her life swallowed.
This is insane.
I got a nice email yesterday from a woman who works in a place where they test for, you know, picky eaters. But I've always wondered if she had a texture issue.
Okay.
Because she'll just spit it right out.
Yeah, you certain know? Things, I have that. Yeah.
Now, I had talked to her and I had explained to her, I go, you know, maybe we should go to one of these places and we could see why you don't like to try new foods and why you don't eat it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, keep that in the back of your mind.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Every day this week, I have been creating a new lunch for her that is created by ChatGPT because I figure ChatGPT knows everything, right? And yesterday, this is what they suggested I put in the school lunch.
ChatGPT lunch, we have quesadilla, we have orange slices, and we have edamame. I will say there's a shot at the quesadilla. I'm not sure about the rest.
Okay.
All right. So, I mean, I feel like, again, good shot there.
Yeah, definitely. And she comes home and...
All right, Dee, show me what you ate at school today.
Oh, okay. Well, you ate a lot of the quesadilla. Did you like it?
Yes.
Yes? So that's a good thing to put in your lunch, right?
Mm-hmm.
How about the other stuff? It looks like you didn't even touch it.
And I didn't even know what the green stuff is.
You don't know what the green stuff is? That's edamame. Remember I told you something new to try? Do you want to try one?
No.
How about the those are oranges. You like those, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Not today.
Not today, because whatever reason,
yeah.
It could be a million things. You know, like the things that hang off oranges, like the little white strings, like
okay.
Whatever. And then she shocked me.
You want to eat one now?
You're going to eat one now? All right. That's good.
Like, in real life?
In real life? Let me see you eat it. Good.
Yes.
Good.
I'm going to peel some skin
off. Yep. Got to peel all the skin off. Yeah, I know.
I got to peel all those things one by one. I'm standing there filming for like 5-6 minutes at this point, and then all of a sudden...
And just one last peel.
One last peel. Put it in your mouth now.
Okay.
Go ahead. Did it. What do you think? Is it any good?
Yes. I literally am holding a thumbs up. Can you see?
Thumbs up. I can see.
She's giving me thumbs up. She's all smiling. I hit stop on the phone to stop recording.
She spits it out.
She spits it out and she goes, I did that for the camera. I'm not going anywhere.
Wow.
She doesn't want to go to the place. I go, but you almost ate it. You almost ate it.
Yeah.
And I believed her. I believed her in my...
You're a fool. I'm sorry.
All right. So this time I rephrased my ChatGPT. I said, what is the perfect lunch to pack for a second grader who is very picky when eating and only eats garbage?
Yeah.
It wrote, for a picky second grader who prefers garbage food, try these healthy alternatives. Mini homemade pizza, baked chicken nuggets, blackberries, a small pack of popcorn. I'm going to put pirate's booty because I know she'll actually eat that. And apple juice box.
Good luck.
I mean, but can you believe it? The minute I stopped recording, she's like, I'm not going anywhere. I'm not doing that thing.
Kids. It's like when kids, you go like, all right, we're going to take a photo. And they know. Or when you even pull out the phone, they just know.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
What if you had the opportunity to plan Taylor Swift's wedding? And that's what you did for a living. You were an event designer.
I mean, that's kind of like reaching the pinnacle right there. When you're an event designer, Anna, you do big ones, you do small ones. This is like American royalty.
Lisa Antonecchia is the owner of Creative Concepts by Lisa. You can find her online at creativeconceptsbylisact.com. Lisa, what if you get to design Taylor Swift's wedding?
What if I told you I've already gotten the call?
Ah!
No, I'm just joking.
Yeah.
I'm just
so good. So good.
Well, if this was my client, I would immediately ask Taylor, is this your special day for you and Travis? Or is this going to be something that we are putting out there?
Yeah.
Let's assume that she's private.
Those are simple questions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you ever had a wedding where you had to have people sign NDAs and stuff?
I have not had the NDAs, but I've had security on property, no social media. For people that are more involved in the political sphere, they have to be very careful too. For our purpose, we need to find out the style of the day. What is the dream venue for her? Talking to them about budget is still going to be important, but I can't imagine that they're giving me any sort of a cap.
Correct.
It's
right.
More of a, this is our dream, you tell us what it's going to cost.
Mm-hmm. So, Lisa, what are unique ideas that you can bring to a wedding? Is it about being unique and having something that nobody else has done before? Or is it about doing the simple things in a thoughtful and better way than, you know, typically it's done?
What a fantastic question. Today, a lot of them are looking for these unique aspects, mm-hmm. right? It's a little bit about one-upmanship. No one wants to admit that, but it is part of the process.
Mm-hmm.
But I think for someone like Taylor, having it so personal and so special and thoughtful is certainly going to be a way that they go. They can blow it out of the park. They can have unique entertainment, the best dress ever made. I know he's going to look fantastic. I would want to focus them on what makes it truly special. Why is it different? Because it's Taylor and Travis.
Talking with event planner Lisa Antonecchia.
Obviously, they have no budget. They are billionaires.
Yeah, they've got plenty of money. Yeah.
The average American wedding right now just hit the highest it's ever been, averaging $58,000 a wedding across the country. That's a lot of money. Where do you see a bulk of Americans spending their money when it comes to weddings?
What I think Americans need to remember is that is across the country. From state to state, wedding averages are always going to be different. 60% of your overall budget is going to be with your venue and food and beverage. And when I see couples booking other vendors prior to finalizing those two major decisions, I get a little bit of anxiety. Once we have a venue, once we know people have eaten and drank, the rest of the money has to get divided up amongst everything else that you want on your special day.
Can you imagine if Taylor is like, I'm not spending more than $30,000 on food and beverage?
I don't think it's out of realm that it happens at the Christmas tree farm.
And if you're not familiar, she grew up on a Christmas tree farm.
Yeah, Dad bought one.
Yeah, but I still think it's a backyard tent wedding.
One of the things that we've always seen with celebrities, how do they keep the helicopters from flying overhead?
Mm-hmm.
In a backyard, whether it's theirs or a friend's or a tree farm, it's about the tenting and how much they can cover all of the moments. And that's huge, for sure.
Big consideration.
That's where she's going to spend money, tenting. That's going to be it.
All right, tents.
Yeah, well, the food was, you know, we got pizza, but, you know, we spent $30,000 in tenting.
Right? Nobody could see us.
We had to tent.
I like it.
Half the state of Rhode Island behind the mansion. Yeah.
That's right. That's
all right. You can find Lisa online at creativeconceptsbylisact.com. Thank you, Lisa. What you missed on August 26th. So top five things that happened over the last couple of days, but you weren't paying attention because all over the news, it was just Travis and Taylor.
Yeah, it's amazing because I keep seeing updates and I'm like, wait a minute. When did that take place?
Yeah,
it was all that day.
The news just gave up that day. They're like, we're just going to do this.
Stuff.
Top five things. Lil Nas X, you may remember, he was arrested when he was found wandering the streets of L.A. in his underwear and cowboy boots singing like this.
Hey, what don't up? Be late to the party tonight.
Where at?
You know where it's at. Go ahead, babe.
Yeah, then he got arrested.
Yeah, you thought it was fake. You thought it was an album launch.
I thought it was something, a political stunt. It was not. I thought it was like his new album was dropping. Then he allegedly charged at a cop. He went to jail for 4 days. He got out on Tuesday.
That was terrifying. That was a terrifying last 4 days. But your girl is going to be all right.
Your girl's going to be all right.
Yeah, well, he's charged with four felonies, so it's going to cost him something. I promise you that. We'll see what happens.
Second thing you missed on August 26th, SpaceX's latest Starship launch.
Wow, we did it, finally!
This was the 10th flight test since 2023, and after several failed attempts...
I mean, nine.
There's our flip. It's a buoy. There's a splashdown.
It was a major success on Tuesday, except nobody cared.
This was the first time that the world's largest rocket checked every single one of the boxes and did not explode. It did exactly what it was supposed to do. And even as you heard, that little flip at the end there, just to be like, hey, look what we can do. Wow, that's a big deal.
10th time's a charm.
Yeah.
That's what we learned.
That's right.
Top five things you missed on August 26th, because that's when they announced the engagement and the world stopped reporting the news.
Yeah.
Number three, Cracker Barrel. Remember, they came under fire earlier this week, and it had changed its longstanding logo to a more modern, simplified version. And people were complaining that it was abandoning its old-time roots. And then they came out with a statement after all the backlash saying...
We thank our guests for sharing your voices. We said we would listen, and we have. Our new logo is going away, and our old-timer will remain.
I mean, for 2-3 days, this went on back and forth. And at first, it was like, it's just a logo. Everybody relax. Herschel's still in the building, et cetera, et cetera. And then, you know what? 5 hours later... Hard stop. Let's go ahead and go back to the old one.
I mean,
it's crazy.
The stocks plummeted. It was a wild backlash.
Over a logo.
For trying to simplify. Oh, they were saying that they were giving in to woke ways and they wanted the old time roots that were there and they didn't want it to change. And I guess if you make a big enough stink, then the brand is like, all right,
well,
let's show them. I mean, it's good publicity. They say no publicity is bad. So now they come forward and they say, yeah, all right, you want the old dude sitting in the rocking chair with the barrel? Yeah, he's back. You got him.
I don't know, man. I think if they had a do-over, they'd be like, yeah, we should have just left that alone.
Top five things you missed on August 26th because of the engagement announcement. Number four, Travis and Taylor weren't the only two that got engaged, except another couple got very little press. Prince Jackson. That's Michael Jackson's son. He got engaged to his girlfriend of 8 years.
I mean, that dude's probably worth... $500 million. Nobody cared.
No, they're like, no, it's good.
Nobody cared.
And the fifth thing that you missed this week is Cardi B. She took the stand in a courtroom this week. Now, Cardi, whose real name is, I'm going to say this wrong, Belcalis Almanzar, is involved in a civil lawsuit because back in 2018, she was at a medical office. They didn't know it at the time, but she was pregnant with her first baby. The security guard claims that she assaulted her and scratched her face with her long nails, which meant she needed plastic surgery and then she lost her job.
Come on, give me a break.
Now, Cardi B says there was no physical altercation. She just yelled at her because she was taking videos of her outside of the gynecologist's office and she didn't want the videos.
Sure.
But she gets on the stand and clearly the plaintiff's lawyer is very confused.
Do you prefer I call you Miss Almanzar, Cardi B, or it doesn't matter?
I mean, you can call me Cardi B.
You can call me Cardi B.
Sure.
But then he asks a very strange question about her hair.
Today you had black hair, short hair. Today it's blonde and long. Which one is your real hair?
They're wigs.
I guess.
I mean, this dude's just trying to get a moment.
He had no idea that she was wearing wigs. How does your hair change?
I mean,
magic, sir. Yeah, magic.
None of your business. How about that, bro?
How weird, right?
Wow.
One of the biggest things that Taylor Swift has been talking about is her obsession with sourdough bread and making it.
Yeah, I mean, I think she's been giving it to people as gifts, right? Mm-hmm. Very nice. I love sourdough bread. Delicious.
Joining us, it's Eva Geyer, and she's a good friend of mine, and she is a sourdough aficionado. Eva, this is such a thing. How did you get into sourdough?
A fellow instructor at the gym I teach at was hosting a sourdough class learning how to make it, and the class was so rewarding. I got so much out of it. The instructor gave us starter that she got from Qatar when her husband was working for Exxon overseas.
What?
So,
Eva, what do you say? Like, what is a starter?
What's a starter? Is that something to do with the yeast?
Is it gasoline?
What are we talking about?
Right. Yes.
You are speaking Greek to us right now, scientist.
Okay, yeah. So, like, no one really knows what a starter is, but it's just flour and water. You don't need yeast because it, like, does, like, the fermentation for the bread.
How do you get that from Qatar? It's like, how does that end up here? Like, I feel like customs is like, nope.
Yeah, she said you can fly with it. They were living overseas. It was during COVID, and she was like determined to do something and asked her neighborhood, does someone have starter? And, you know, someone was like, yeah, you know, you can't come inside because it's COVID, but I'm going to leave the starter on my doorstep. And she's just,
this is wild.
Like, literally, she kept it alive. They moved back to Houston, and she started teaching classes. And, yeah, I have starter from Qatar.
Does Taylor Swift have starter from Qatar also that she has to keep alive?
How do you keep it alive?
You got to feed it. You got to pet it.
What?
Yeah, exactly. You feed it.
If you can't get your starter from Qatar, can you get it from somewhere in America?
Yes, I bet you someone in your community has starter. So you would just go ask them for like 30 grams of starter and then feed it equal parts flour and water. Let it grow and then you can bake bread.
I mean, I would be terrified if I had this in my fridge. I feel like at some point it would come for me.
In the middle of the night.
Like if it ate everything else that was in the fridge and then, you know, exploded from the fridge. And then came and got me. God.
What if your starter woke up in the middle of the night and decided it wanted to destroy you?
You won't control me anymore. Right? It's like a horror film waiting to happen here.
How do you make sourdough bread? We're talking to my friend Eva Geyer.
If I don't have starter, I'm dead in the water.
Does it run out? Can you run out of starter?
Yeah, but like all you need is, if you even had just like 5 grams, like a teaspoon of starter, and you fed it a ginormous feeding of water and flour, it would just reactivate.
See, it's terrifying.
But you want to know what's funny, Eva, is as you explain it to me, I see why Taylor Swift is into it, because it's so complex and different.
I mean, where do you get, wow.
It's Qatar, just, we just learned. That's where
I know, but yeah. I mean, if she didn't get hers there, you know what I mean? Does it grow in like athlete socks? Does it, you know, any of these things? Like, I'm just.
It's like literally a science experiment. I follow the same process every time, and it doesn't always come out the same. Just when it works, it's the most rewarding feeling.
All right. So what makes sourdough different from the other breads besides the fact that you need this incredible active ingredient that may kill you in your sleep?
It's gut friendly. So a lot of people who have gluten intolerances can tolerate sourdough bread because of its long fermentation process. So it sits in the fridge after the dough's ready for anywhere from 12 to 48 hours. And the longer it's in the fridge, the less gluten it has.
Much more complex and fascinating than I thought it was going to be.
I think I'm more confused than I could have been going into it.
I'm going to try it.
Anna, go take a class. I was so intimidated until I took a class.
All right, I'm going to go look it up. All right, Eva Geyer, thank you so much. Sourdough aficionado and expert. How many friends do you have? Good friends. Like friends that you can count on, you can text, you talk to regularly. There is a new scientific number that says that you need 5.
Okay.
5 friends do the trick. That's people that have 5 friends.
The magic number.
Yeah, they have positive emotional health. And people that have 3 or fewer besties, they have a rougher time with their mental health.
Okay.
And, you know, one of the hard things, I think, about being an adult is making new friends.
Well, sure.
I mean, it's so difficult.
Yeah. I mean, we've all become pretty private. Everybody's in their devices. Pandemic affects all that stuff, too. Nobody wants to feel awkward when they go into something. You feel like, oh, well, I can just go ahead and ignore this and do my own thing. Sometimes it's easier to do that. But in the end, it becomes like not good for you.
All these studies, the study of happiness that came out, all of them, they all say the same thing, is that having social relationships is the most important thing.
Yeah.
So how do you make a friend? It's funny because my little one going into she's in second grade now. When she got the class list, we went down the names. And only 2 names were familiar,
yeah.
And they were not any of her good friends that she played with, not, you know, kids that she's had in her class
before. Somebody that
she
interacted with, but, you know, right, acquaintance more than friend.
Interestingly enough, when I asked her about it, her answers were fascinating. Dakota, how was your first day of school?
The best.
It was the best? Oh, that makes me so happy. So there weren't a lot of friends in your class. There weren't a lot of people you knew, only 2 girls, right?
Yes.
So what did you say you were going to do when I said, what are you going to do when you only know 2 girls?
I'm going to make more friends.
Good job.
Okay. So do you think it's easy to make friends?
No.
Why not?
Because, like, it's, like, hard because, like, might not, like, want to be your friend.
Right. And I think it doesn't matter if you're 6 or if you're 60, you are afraid of the rejection of asking somebody to become your friend and creating a friend, right?
I mean, rejection's never going to feel good. That makes sense to me. I do feel like kids largely have an easier time with this. But, yeah, I mean, that's a valid point.
I think a lot of people get nervous that somebody doesn't want to be their friend. And not just kids. I think grown-ups, too. So do you feel like you're good at making friends?
Yeah.
So what tips would you have for somebody that's maybe going into a classroom or is a grown up and wants to make new friends and doesn't know a lot of people? What should they do?
They should like ask what their name is, ask if they want to be friends. Mm-hmm.
So you say, just say, hi, my name is Dakota. Do you want to be my friend?
Yeah.
Oddly enough, in second grade, one of my best friends to this day,
yeah,
Tina D. Tina walked up to me on the playground. I was a chubby little girl sitting on the curb all by myself, had no friends.
Yeah.
She stuck out her hand and she said, hi, my name is Tina. Do you want to be my best friend? Worked out well. But it doesn't always work out, Raven.
One time you did that and didn't they say no?
Yeah.
The girl in the lunchroom, right?
Yeah.
And then what happened?
I walked away.
Okay. But have you made a lot of friends that way?
Yes.
Doesn't always work.
Well, some people don't want to be friends.
It was the funniest thing. I mean, it's at the time it wasn't funny, but I was like, you asked the girl in the lunchroom to be your friend and sit with you, and she said no. She's like, yeah, she said no. I go, why? She's like, I don't know. I asked her twice. Twice she said no. I go, okay.
Well, you know, sometimes people don't. Who knows what that little girl was going through that day?
Right.
We don't know. The other one, she could have had her own stuff happening.
All right, so any final pieces of advice on how to make friends?
I guess just be nice.
It's always good advice.
Yeah, start with a big smile. That helps.
Yep.
Yeah.
One couple.
It makes me furious. I don't get it.
This is what she wants to do.
One problem.
My daughter wants to do a spa weekend for her 16th birthday.
And I'm being deprived of going there because I'm a guy?
You decide the outcome.
All right, Gabby, you got to be happy to hear that, right?
Yeah, I mean, we can have a family dinner when we get back in town.
It's Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Everyday couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about. And then it's up for you to decide who's right. Couples Court is powered by T-Mobile. If you're 55 and up, T-Mobile has plans built just for you. Right now, you can save big with T-Mobile's phone and home internet bundle. Visit your local store to learn more. Mark and Megan. Megan, what's going on?
So my husband and I like to have an end of summer party, and we invited everyone over, all of our friends, and I wanted it to be a no cell phone party because everyone's always on their phones. Even when you're hanging out with them, they're still looking on their phone, and it's super rude and annoying. And some of our friends went on their phone and they were posting Instagram stories and things like that. And I asked them to stop, but they didn't. And so I asked them to leave.
Okay. Ooh.
Okay.
And Mark, you had a problem with that.
Well, I understand that. I get the theme of the party, but, you know, we're adults and I don't think everyone's going to get into it. You know what I mean? It's like going to a Halloween party and you see there's a couple people without costumes, but they're still having a really good time. That's kind of the way I look at it. You know, to me, it wasn't that big of a deal.
Yeah. You know? I mean, I understand that, you know, when you throw somebody out of your house, right, especially in front of other people, was it like that? Was it in front of other people, or did you just ask them quietly to leave or, you know, put away your cell phones or go? What was it like?
I went up to them while they were just taking their selfies over and over and weird pictures and not paying attention, so I did it in front of everyone but off to the side.
What?
I mean, it's public, so it's embarrassing. Right, for
I think it was a little embarrassing.
Yeah.
I found that. I mean, that was kind of my issue with it.
Yeah.
It was like, you didn't really have to call him out. It wasn't that big of a deal to me, but.
Yeah, but, you know, at the same time, if you were super clear about what you wanted for this party, and you made it clear in the invite, and you made it clear when people arrived there, and everybody else is buying in except for this one couple, then that's rude. Right? Like, I mean, that's disrespectful. Even if people are used to having their phones, it's not like I just have to check and make sure my kid's okay or whatever. Everybody's always got an excuse. They knew the rules. You gave them the rules. You can either play along or not. If somebody invites you to a costume party, you don't want to wear one, you don't go.
Megan, what was their reaction when you asked them to leave?
They were shocked and they're like, no, just a couple photos. But, you know, the point is, they shouldn't have come if they weren't going to follow the rules on the invite like everyone else.
You know,
I agree with you, but I don't know if I could throw somebody out of my house for that. These are your friends, right? These are people you know.
Maybe.
Well, they were my friends. And these are my friends, really.
Uh-huh.
Even more than her.
But I mean, they've been to your house before, right? They've met your wife.
Yeah, they've been to our house. Yeah.
They've met your wife. And if you guys were clear, I don't know. I mean, I don't know how people will go with it. But did she, you know what, Megan, did you mention this to Mark? Mark, did you see this frustration growing? Did you know something was about to happen? Maybe not that, but you knew something was about to go on?
Yeah, but I just didn't internalize it as much, you know, because it just didn't rub me the wrong way in the same way. I know I saw her frustration growing, but I feel like it was an overreaction.
Okay. Was Megan wrong to throw out Mark's friends from their party because they had a no cell phone policy and they violated it?
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court.
When you invite somebody to a party and you tell them this is a cell phone free party, no posting to social, no pics, we just want everybody to be present and have a good time. But then somebody at your party takes out their phone and starts taking pics and doing selfies. Is it right to throw them out?
You know, there's a couple different schools of thought here on this, Anna. And obviously, Megan and Mark, they're on different sides of this. Megan, Mark, they put out these rules. They made it public to everybody that didn't want the cell phones to be at the party. And when you've got friends disrespecting it and posting while they're there and all that stuff, and they're doing it in front of other guests, Megan just said action has to be taken. But Mark says you should have spoke to me first because they're my friends. If you go to a party or you invite somebody to a party, they're your guest, right? But if you went to a party with somebody that you didn't know all that well, and there was these rules in place, and somebody kicked you out because you didn't follow those rules, would you be shocked?
I think you have to put the rules in place if that's what you want.
Yeah.
But you can't expect people to follow them, and I don't think you can kick somebody out of your house for that. They're not hurting anyone. They're not insulting anyone.
I mean, they're insulting me.
What do you
think? I made the rules. You're at my home.
1-800-330-9999. Was Megan wrong to kick these people out? Kelly, whose side are you on?
I'm on his side. I think that was insane, and I think they don't have to worry about having any more parties.
Well, not with those people anyway.
I don't think anyone's going to come after embarrassing someone.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. It's a Couples Court. If you're hosting a party at your house and you tell everybody before they come over, this is a cell-free zone. We want to not have any cell phones, no pictures, no selfies, no posting to social media. But then there's one couple that keeps doing it. Are you wrong to throw them out?
I don't think that it's a big deal to make it happen, right? Megan, that's exactly what she did. Mark was a bit upset. He was caught off guard because they're friends of his, and she didn't notify him before she asked them to leave. But she said, listen, I gave him a warning, and then they kept doing it. I want you to imagine that. Let's say it wasn't cell phones. What if it was cigarettes, and they were just smoking amongst your guests on the deck, amongst your kids, whatever it may be, and you asked them not to do that? Would it be any different?
Yes, because that's like a harmful thing. I don't think what these guests did was right or nice, but I do think it is rude that she threw them out.
No, they're ruder. It's my house. I told you what to do. Get out of my house.
It's a selfie. What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Kusan, whose side are you on?
Oh, I'm definitely with the guys. You know what I mean? Like, how are you going to throw somebody out when you invited them to a party?
No.
It's just a quick selfie. If anything, they're giving you props. Hey, just got a good party going on. Mm. You know? That's how I look at it.
Okay.
I don't think it's a big issue, really. And okay. It's kind of embarrassing, too, to do that.
Definitely,
well, certainly awkward. Right, yeah. There's an embarrassing moment to it. There's an embarrassing element.
Thanks for the
call. Hi, Tanya. What do you think about this? Whose side are you on today?
I'm on the wife's side because I've tried to have this policy in my house, too, and it is extremely frustrating, and, you know, with family gatherings and things like that, and nobody listens, and somebody's got to put their foot down and make consequences. I think that that's commendable for her to be able to do that, but it's sad that her husband doesn't support it, you know?
Hi, Ann Raven. Who's this?
This is Lisa, the wedding planner.
Hey, Lisa, what do you say? You've got a guest at your house, and you've told them that you want no cell phones there, and they are not abiding by the rules. Whose side are you on?
I am on the kick them out side. It's your house, your rules. You've made it very clear. You should be respectful. And I can say this, as a professional in the event business, we ask people to leave their cell phones at the door all the time, and I see it in people's faces when people do not abide by those rules, and that's out of venue. That's not in your house.
Right.
So I'm going to go with her on this one.
Thanks,
I would
Lisa.
Never have my cell phone out and be posting at any event that I was told not to do that. I find that unbelievably rude.
Well, of course. I'm also a rule follower. So if that was the rules,
Yeah.
That's what you're supposed to do.
That's what I would do. Right.
That's
Thanks for the
what
call.
You're supposed to do, but you two are professionals.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Megan, our audience agreed with you. If that was on the invite and you gave them a warning and let them know and they did it anyway, then it's disrespectful and they should be out of your house.
Great.
You know, I get it that it's awkward for you, Mark. You know, the only thing is hindsight being 20/20. Maybe you could have went over and said, hey, listen, man, my wife's upset about this, right? We put these rules in place for a reason. You're not, you know, being very cool or whatever about it. You could have kind of, you know, give them a precursor to it, but You know, it is what it is at this point, right?
Yeah, I kind of felt silly doing that in the moment, but, you know, yeah, hindsight 2020. I would do it next time.
Yeah.
Okay. If you have a problem too, send an email, couplescore@annonraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
The Can't Beat Raven cash jackpot is $4,900. Juliana and Dana, ladies, ready to play today?
Okay. Yes, we're ready.
Are you feeling confident?
Yes.
All right. I would love to give you this money. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, can you please leave the room?
You got it. Good luck. $4,900.
Thank you.
Okay. All right, Raven's going to walk out. We have to wait for that door to close so he won't be able to hear us. It's a soundproof studio.
Okay.
I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. I'll bring them back in, ask them the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. Remember, if you're not sure, just guess the first thing that pops into your head, okay?
Okay, perfect.
All right, let's do it. You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Number one, Travis and Jason Kelce moved their podcast to Amazon's Wondery in a deal worth more than $100 million. What's the name of their podcast?
I have no idea.
Number two, Steve Carell and John Krasinski crashed the set of the new Office spinoff to wish them well. What's that new spinoff called?
Welcome to Dunder Mifflin.
Number three, Billie Eilish is such a fan of the Uno card game that she designed her own deck that fans can buy. How many color suits are there on a standard Uno deck?
5.
Number four, Teen Titans Go was renewed for a 10th season. Which Teen Titan can transform into any animal?
Beast Boy.
Number five, a poll found that 2 novels, 1984 and To Kill a Mockingbird, most profoundly affected its student readers in high school. Name one of their authors.
Harper Lee.
Okay, let me bring Raven back in. You've redeemed yourself at the end. 2 out of 5 for Juliana and Dana.
Not great. Let's see how I do. Here we go.
I think they got the 2 right that you'll get wrong. Let's
see.
Number one, Travis and Jason Kelce moved their podcast to Amazon's Wondery in a deal worth more than $100 million.
Wow.
What is the name of their podcast?
New Heights.
Correct.
You hear that he's also signed that jean deal with American Eagle.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's a whole clothing line, actually. And I was looking at it. I don't know.
Whatever. It doesn't matter. The check's going to cash. That's all it is.
Yeah. I won't be buying it for my husband, I don't think. Number two, Steve Carell and John Krasinski crashed the set of the new Office spinoff to wish them well. What's the new spinoff called?
The Paper.
Yes. Number three, Billie Eilish is such a fan of the Uno card game that she designed her own deck that fans can buy.
Wow.
How many color suits are in a standard Uno deck?
There's 4 colors and wild cards are black.
Yes. What are the 4 colors?
Red, green, blue, yellow?
Yep. Number four, Teen Titans Go was renewed for a 10th season. Which Teen Titan can transform into any animal?
I'm just going to say the only one I know is Raven.
No. Beast Boy.
Nope, sorry.
Number five, a poll found that 2 novels, 1984 and To Kill a Mockingbird, most profoundly affected its student readers in high school. Name one of their authors. Got 2 chances here.
The Orson Welles and Stephen King.
No. Noted both of them.
Okay.
No. Huh? Yeah. As predicted, Juliana and Dana, you got the 2 right that he got wrong.
Give me one of them names.
It was George Orwell wrote 1984, and Harper Lee wrote To Kill a Mockingbird.
Yeah, whatever.
3-2 today. That's going to get you an Anne on Raven t-shirt.
Awesome. This is Juliana, and I can't beat Raven.
Thank you. Hold on. We're going to get all your info. Raven, did you just say that it's garbage?
Garbage.
The greatest novel works of all time.
Yeah, garbage. I'm reading Finders Keepers right now. 2 in the trilogy of Mr. Mercedes from Stephen King. You should check it out. Real good. 5 grand tomorrow, Anna. Mm-hmm.